Morning. Good. Just seeing who's here, just doing the register in my head. So as has already been trailed, this morning's theme that we're talking about in our discipleship series is thinking about discipleship as the way of forgiveness. And although Mike has set me up to deliver this in rap style, I will resist the temptation. My short and inglorious rap career is well over. Dan's going to interpret the video to me afterwards. I did ask if he would give me the gift of interpretation on that. But we're thinking about forgiveness, which is a very serious and deep topic. And in one sense, it's not something that I need to explain what forgiveness is, because it's a universal requirement. At some point in your life, I suspect, you have been in the position of needing to forgive someone something. Or vice versa. There's been someone close to you who has needed to forgive you for something. We all get involved in the need for forgiveness. It's not something which we can be immune from. There are certain things about discipleship which may or may not touch us, but this will touch all of us. There will be a point in all of our lives when somebody comes along and just punctures our world and just takes from us what we thought was our right and our due in the relationship we're in, whether it's a work colleague, whether it's a marriage partner, whether it's a friend. Something that we thought was our right gets taken from us, and we're immediately pitched into that place where we need to consider forgiveness. And if you've not yet got there, then I still believe that at some point you will in your life have to wrestle with this issue of forgiveness. And it's a really deep and important issue. It's not an option for a Christian disciple. Jesus said, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." Now that's so stark that no preacher would have dared to make that up. That comes very plainly from the mouth of Jesus, that forgiveness is a really deep and important issue. John Stott said that forgiveness is as indispensable to the life and health of the soul as food is for the body. It's been shown through various pieces of research around the world, repeated many times, that unforgiveness, or to hold on to bitterness, to hold on to anger against another person, is not just bad for our souls, it's actually bad for our physical and mental health too. There's a Chinese saying that is to hold on to resentment is to buy poison for somebody else and then to drink it yourself. That bitterness and resentment eats away at our souls, at our spirits, and even at our bodies and causes ill health. It feels like it's a reasonable thing to do because the other person has wronged us. We want to get even. We want to stay angry with them because they deserve it. But what they deserve actually rebounds on us and eats away at ourselves. And Jesus said you'll be in a position spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and even physically if you do not choose to forgive when the requirement is there. What is forgiveness? Simply, it's a refusal to get even. It's a refusal to get your own back. It's a refusal to make the other person suffer. In the Psalms, there's a lovely description of God. It's a beautiful description of God. You know, sometimes you hear people say silly things like, well, the God of the New Testament is really full of love and kindness, and the God of the Old Testament, he's really angry and warlike. It's just, the people who say that have never, ever read their Bibles, or at least never, ever read their Old Testament. Because here's a verse from the Old Testament about God. It says, "He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." That's a beautiful description of what it means to forgive, to live in forgiveness, to not always accuse, to not harbor anger, to not treat the other person as their sin against you deserves. That is how God treats us, and that's how we're called to forgive, to release the debt that the other person owes to us. And I like that line about removing our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. Because you can't look at both those at the same time, can you? You can't look at the east and the west at the same time, can you? Can you? Can you? I'm looking at some clever people out there in case I'm getting this wrong. God has removed our transgressions from us so far that when he looks at us, he cannot see them. They're out of sight. And that's how we're called to forgive when that other person has wronged us and taken something from us and punctured our world and done something which, yes, is wrong. That's the essence of Christian forgiveness. It's a refusal to get even. And it pitches all of the responsibility here on the person who has been wronged. There's a book by Max Lucado called Just Like Jesus, and in there there's a little quote. It says, "Relationships don't thrive because the guilty are punished, but because the innocent are merciful." I think it's a very powerful little quote. I'll read it again. Relationships don't thrive because the guilty are punished. And that's how it feels like, isn't it? When someone's hurt you, when someone's wronged you, when someone has done something wrong. We're not saying it's not wrong, but when they've done that and hurt you, we want to get even in some way or another. Or at least we want to kind of hurt them, or at least hold ourselves back from them and put that wall up between us that somehow protects us. But relationships don't thrive because the guilty are punished. Marriages don't thrive because the guilty person is punished for the rest of this life, but because the innocent are merciful. That's a really strong, I think, telling indicator of what true forgiveness is. It's hard. It's a tough choice. It's not easy. Jesus, again, speaking to his disciples, said, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. You are wrong to do that to me. And if they repent, forgive them. And if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostles said, "Lord, increase our faith." See, Jesus was being over twice as hard as the rabbis of his day, because the rabbis of his day would teach that you should forgive someone three times. And Jesus goes beyond that. He doubles it and adds one for good measure. But just imagine that in a day. Now, in a year, you'd say, that was being really generous. If the same person did the same thing to me seven times in a year and I was asked to forgive him, that is really being very generous. And Jesus says seven times in a day. That's an awful lot of offense and an awful lot of mountains to climb. But Jesus didn't say, and if you feel like it, forgive them. Or if the mood takes you, forgive them. He just puts that little imperative in that you must forgive. We'll see why in a minute. But the apostles, the disciples, said, I guess, what we might have said. How are we going to do that? Lord, we need help. We need your help. If that's the calling of Christian discipleship, to forgive like that. And Jesus isn't saying you weren't wronged. He's saying you were wronged. To forgive like that. Increase our faith. We need help from outside of ourselves if we're going to forgive like this. We need help from the Holy Spirit. We need help from you, Jesus, if we're going to live the life that you're calling us to live as a forgiving community and as forgiving individuals. Notice just one thing as a little bit of an aside as we move forward, though, because sometimes people, I've talked to people over the years about these issues, and it's not easy, I know, but sometimes people confuse forgiveness with reconciliation. Forgiveness with reconciliation. You see, you can forgive somebody but still not be reconciled to them. There's another step that's required. Think of the prodigal son sitting in his pigsty, in his pig field. When he was so far from home, you know, I think you know the story of the prodigal son, most of us will anyway, know the story of the prodigal son. He'd left a good home and gone off to do his own thing, completely got bankrupt, ended up in a pig field, the worst place a Jewish boy could be. Was he, while he was there, forgiven by his father? Think about this carefully. While he was there, what was in his father's heart towards him? Love. I would say, while he was there, there was forgiveness in his father's heart towards him. His father had forgiven him. Was he in receipt of that forgiveness? No. Was he reconciled to his father? No. But there was a point when he became reconciled to his father, and he received that forgiveness. The point at which he was reconciled was the point at which he, to use the word that came in the reading earlier, he repented. In other words, he turned away from the life he had chosen, and he decided to go back home and to live unconditionally under his father's roof. He turned back from a rebellion against his father and turned back to serve his father. And that was the point of reconciliation. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you 7 times a day and they repent, forgive them. Now, the forgiveness has got to be in your heart. You can't start negotiating at that point, just like the father didn't start negotiating when the son came home. So, well, we've got a little checklist here, son. My forgiveness is conditional on you ticking at least 5 of these 7 boxes. On a scale of 0 to 10, how sorry are you really? When you say you want to come home as a servant, what does that include? Doing the dishes? There was no checklist. There was no conditions. The forgiveness was unconditional and already in place in the father's heart, but it was not meaningful to the son until he repented and went home unconditionally. And sometimes we're in relationships where people have hurt us, and we have to work from our side at forgiveness. Lord, help us increase our faith. It hurts. I'm angry. We have to work from our side at forgiveness. But that forgiveness may or may not lead to reconciliation. It's dependent on the repentance of the other person. There's also can be, within forgiveness, the need to protect. There needs to be some protection sometimes, depending on what the offense is. But if, for example, in perhaps an extreme scenario, someone's living in an abusive relationship, what does it mean to forgive that person? To keep putting yourself back in the place of abuse? To keep putting yourself back 7 times a day in the place where you're being hurt, emotionally or physically? I don't think it does. I think there can be forgiveness in your heart, but still a wisdom that says it would be wrong for me to engage at this point until you truly have repented. The seasons that Ecclesiastes 3 talks about. There's a time for everything, season for every activity under heaven, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to be silent and a time to speak. There's a time, even though you have forgiven in your heart, to engage, and there's a time, even though you have forgiven in your heart, to fail to engage. Because I'm sure God doesn't want us to use forgiveness as a smokescreen for keep putting ourselves back in line for abuse. So there's a high standard for forgiveness. There's a high standard that Jesus sets. It's kind of not negotiable, despite those caveats that I've just put in. How do we forgive? Well, the New Testament says that we should be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There's the standard. There's the pattern. There's the precedent for Christian forgiving. It's as Christ, as God forgave you in Christ. The cross is the standard for Christian forgiveness. And when you think about the cross and God's forgiveness there, 2 words come to mind. Firstly, it was unilateral. It was done before we had even sinned. Forgiveness was offered. Forgiveness was secured by the death of Jesus before I was even born. It's unilateral. God's forgiveness comes out of nowhere. It takes the first step. It gets ahead of the sin. God's forgiveness is unilateral. And secondly, it's unconditional. It's not about scoring enough points to gain your favor again, to get back into your good books again. It's unconditional and it's unilateral. And Jesus told a story, didn't he, about forgiveness. He illustrated it with a very insightful and powerful little parable, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Remember that one? A servant is called to account. A king calls all his servants to account. And it turns out this particular servant owes the king thousands of bags of gold. And he cannot afford to repay the thousands of bags of gold. And so the king says, well, you've got to go to prison, your children will be sold, your wife will be sold, I'm going to get my money somehow. And the servant says, please have mercy. I can't bear to see my wife sold. I can't bear to see my children sold. I don't want to go to prison. I just can't pay. Please be merciful. There was nothing he could do to repay the debt. Nothing he could do. It was just too much. And we read that the king was merciful and let him off. And then we read that that bloke goes outside and comes across somebody who owes him 100 silver coins. And the man says, pay me back my 100 silver coins. And the bloke says, I can't afford it. And we read that the man who'd just been forgiven by the king grabs him by the neck and throttles him. Says, pay me back, I'm going to do you in if you don't. And the king gets to hear of this transaction. And he's furious. Because he said, how can somebody who's been forgiven so much fail to forgive others what they are owed? And one of the reasons we find it hard to forgive, I think, or perhaps to flip that around, one of the ways that God does increase our faith and give us the capacity to forgive is by constantly coming back to the cross and our own forgiveness from God. Remembering that we, like that man in that story, and this was Jesus' point, are like the man who comes to the king and owes the king so much, we're so much in debt to God, that we could never repay, we could never buy ourselves back into his favor, were that possible. We are totally dependent on mercy for our lives. We're totally dependent upon grace, as we sang earlier, for our lives. God's free gift to us of forgiveness for our sins, our failures, our shortcomings. And it's free and it's unmerited. It's unilateral, it's unconditional. And Jesus said, if that's how you are forgiving, then how dare you not forgive like that too? That's the point he's making. Many of you will have heard of the Dutch lady, Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom, for those of you who don't know, was a Dutch lady who, with her sister and father, were taken by the Nazis in the Second World War to a concentration camp. And she suffered all of the horrors of the concentration camp, including seeing her sister die there and her father die there. Somehow she survived miraculously. She was a Christian and held on to her faith in that terrible place. When she came back to real life, as it were, she started to speak to other people in churches about her faith. And one day she was in a church in Germany, in Berlin, I think it was, talking about her experience at the hands of the Germans in the concentration camp and how God had sustained her through there. And at the end of the service, somebody came up to her. And it was one of the guards from the concentration camp. One of the people that had put her through hell and seen her sister die and her father die. This little video is just a little her talking about that experience of meeting that man in Germany.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, ah, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel overseers, guards, in the concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian, I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom, once in your forgiven, will you forgive me? And I could not. When I was in a concentration camp, One of the most terrible things I had to go through was that they stripped us of all our clothing. And we had to stand naked. The first time was the worst. I said, Betsy, I cannot bear this. And suddenly it was as if I saw Jesus at the cross. And the Bible tells, they took his garments, he hung there naked. And I knew he hung there for me, for my sins. And by my suffering, I understood a fraction of the suffering of Jesus Christ. And it made me so thankful that I could bear my suffering. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I saw, when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. Do you know that Jesus has said that? When you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, my heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. I knew, oh, I'm not ready for Jesus coming because I have no forgiveness for my sins. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.